Good morning. Good to be with you this Advent season. We are continuing to look at this question, why was Jesus born? And so we're in Luke chapter 19 as we ask that question this morning. And so before we get into that, my name is Jonathan. I'm one of the ministers here. And if you have questions afterward, I'd be happy to chat with you. Or if you'd like to pray, we'd love to pray with you. If you could stand for the reading of God's word, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us in your Son. As we observe him in this story, may we become more acquainted with Jesus, and with why he came, why he was born, why he died, why he rose. We pray that you would draw our interest into these important matters, that you would draw us to Christ himself, and that you would speak to us through your eternal word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This Advent season, we're considering why was Jesus born? And Pastor Ryan has shown us that one reason is that it was to put flesh on love. Also, to make the unrighteous righteous. And this morning, to seek and to save the lost. We discovered this in a very well-known story in Christian circles. The story of Zacchaeus, a wee little man, you might have sung as a child, and we visit this familiar story with this question in mind. Why was Jesus born? What does Jesus seek? How should we respond, and why does he seek? So let's look at this. Who did Jesus seek? How should we respond, and why does he seek? Who does he seek? In a defining moment, Jesus gathers his disciples together, and he says, Behold, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're perplexed that Jesus has been avoiding Jerusalem for some time. And so, curious, Jesus says this, I will be delivered over to the Gentiles, mocked, shamefully treated, spit upon, flogged, and crucified, and on the third day I will rise. They're confused, but they're kind of afraid to ask questions, and Jesus sets out to Jerusalem. He's intending to pass through the lush city of Jerusalem, but before he can even get there, he's met by a blind beggar on the busy road to Jericho. And this beggar cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The
crowd around him tries to shush him and keep him from talking, and he decides to cry even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I imagine Jesus walking over, placing his hands on his eyes as he restores his sight, commends his faith, and the people erupt in joy. And Jesus sets out again to make his way to Jerusalem until he reaches Jericho. Jericho was a prosperous border town known for its customs and also called the city of palm trees. But Jesus is just passing through. There we meet a man named Zacchaeus who climbs up a sycamore tree. Now, Palestinian sycamore trees are shorter than the American sycamore trees, but there are plenty of branches that they could climb up. The real question is why? Why is he climbing up a tree? You know, well, the deck is kind of stacked against Zacchaeus. He is of shorter stature, probably less than 5 feet. No offense this morning on the stature category, but that's a reality. He can't see over the crowds. He can't see Christ, and so he climbs this tree. And worse, he's rich. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, Jesus has just taught that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, why would Jesus say that? Well, because if we're not careful, the comforts of this world will so enter us, they will weaken our desire to enter the kingdom of God. That's not the only problem Zacchaeus has. It's also how he got his wealth. He is a Jewish tax collector. And tax collectors were taking a tax imposed by the Roman Empire, the enemy of Israel, from their own people. So here's Zacchaeus, essentially a traitor, taking taxes from his own people. But it got even worse. They were known to take more than they should take, to kind of extort their own people. Perhaps like a mobster taking a cut from local businesses. And Zacchaeus isn't just a tax collector, he's a chief tax collector. Despicable. Traitor. And here he is, up a tree. No doubt he's taken some elbows. You know, he's gotten some jeers on his way to get to the tree. And it makes you kind of wonder, why go to the trouble? Verse 3. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, the Greek word seek here means that he had been seeking for some time. Perhaps he heard about Jesus' interaction with another outcast, the blind man. But still, it all seems a bit unexpected. I mean, despite the social scorn, Zacchaeus is a rich man. He has considerable status. His name means righteous. And here he is, an adult, a grown man, running and scouring up a tree. I mean, you've got to be more than curious to do something like that. You've got to be more than curious to throw that kind of dignity to the wind. Zacchaeus is desperate. He's desperate to see Jesus. He wants something so badly, he'll take blows for it. Are you desperate for Jesus? Do you badly want to see Jesus? Jesus and Zacchaeus will be eating in a few moments. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for Jesus? Do you desire Christ? The reformer Martin Luther said, "Hunger is the best cook." What did he mean? Pastors, preachers, teachers can lay out a feast for us, but unless we're hungry, we won't take a bite. You might look at the meal. You might say, my goodness, look how beautiful that is. That looks appetizing. You might even describe the ingredients. But unless we're hungry, we won't take a bite. But if we're ravenous, we won't just admire the meal. We'll devour the meal. Are you hungry for Jesus? If you are, great. Keep seeking Jesus, to encounter him in scripture and in prayer, to enjoy his satisfying presence. But if you're not hungry, like me many mornings, maybe adopt the posture of the blind beggar, pleading for Jesus, pleading that you might see Jesus, that you might receive his mercy. Scramble out of bed, go to a quiet place, open the Bible, open your heart, and ask that you would see Jesus. You see, we've got to get in front of the food, don't we? We can't savor what we don't see. So pull up a chair. Take a Bible class in the spring. Register for a foundations class in January. We'll be looking at the multifaceted gospel of Jesus Christ for 7 weeks. And then the many metaphored glory of the church for another 7 weeks. As I've thought about this, I've been praying for us that we would have a spiritual hunger fitting of the feast that we have in Christ. Jesus seeks the unworthy, the outcast, the hungry. How should we respond? Well, Jesus arrives at the tree and he looks up. He says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. You notice Jesus invited himself over. It's a faux pas now and it's a faux pas then, but it's no imposition for Zacchaeus. He doesn't wave him off and just settle for a conversation in the tree. No, he scrambles down the tree, just like he scrambled up. Well, why? To receive Christ joyfully. To receive Christ. He's hungered to see Jesus, and now he receives Jesus with joy. Commentators observe that this is likely his moment of saving faith in which he encounters the saving Jesus. The crowds withdraw. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Did you notice? The hostility against Zacchaeus has been transferred onto Jesus. Tax collector, mobster, traitor, fornicator, coveter, gossip, betrayer, liar, Jesus takes it all. And I imagine Zacchaeus coming down that tree, Jesus shielding him from the hate and encircling him with his love. Scandalous mercy. You see, God forgives sin that even sinners would not forgive. So, be careful who you judge. What looks like a saint may actually be a sinner, and what looks like a sinner may be waking their way to Christ to become a saint. Jesus comes to seek and save the lost, not those found in their own eyes. Zacchaeus then welcomes Jesus in, into his home, but also into his very own being. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, he stands up with an opportunity to set everything straight. And he does not say, hey, I belong here. He didn't give you an invitation into my house. He's not with you. No. There's not a hint of self-righteousness with Zacchaeus. Instead, he stands and addresses not the crowd, but the Lord. And he says this, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold." What would you part with to see Jesus, to savor Christ? Now, it might look like Zacchaeus is trying to pay God back for a seat at the table. But according to the law, if a thief was caught, they had to pay anywhere from 2 to 3, sometimes 4 times the amount. But Zacchaeus isn't caught by the law. He is captivated by grace. And so he says, "Take half of what I have." Moved by the grace of God, he distributes grace to those who judge him. See, this man is not currying favor. He's enjoying favor. He's not meriting grace. He's devouring grace. He isn't inspecting the meal. He is delighting in the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And he's giving it away to those who hate him. Will you devour grace? Will you delight in God's favor this morning? The proof is how we treat other people, how we treat those who have mistreated us. Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there a wrong that you need to right? Do it. Not for grace, but because of grace. Not to get God's favor, but because in Christ you have received eternal favor with God. Why does he seek? We've looked at who he seeks and how to respond, but why? Well, the eyes are pinned on Jesus at this point. What's he going to say to Zacchaeus? Christ declares, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So Jesus declares Zacchaeus' status in front of everyone, a saved son of God. Now, why is that? Why is it that he is saved? Is it because he's a son of Abraham? Not exactly. The word since he is a son of Abraham, can mean in view of, not because. So in view of the fact that you're related to Abraham, okay, so there's a connection. It's like God, like Christ is looking at Zacchaeus through the covenant promises made to Abraham, not through the scorn of the collected mockers. But the real reason is in the next verse. For, because the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Well, what does that mean? Why the bounty of grace? Why mercy upon mercy? Why is salvation visiting Zacchaeus? Let's look at these two words. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. When Jesus says the Son of Man came to seek, he's thinking of Ezekiel 34. And in that passage, the shepherds of Israel, the leaders of the Israelites, have become wicked leaders, bad shepherds. They've exploited the people of God. And so God says he'll step in verse 11. He says this, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out." You keep reading, he repeats the word seek 4 times. He is sedulously seeking those who are scattered. And then do you notice he said, "I myself"? He's throwing himself, all of his pastoral weight, into gathering up lost and wandering sheep. But who exactly are these sheep? Verse 16, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. This is who Christ seeks. Are you weak? Take heart. Your shepherd is strong. Are you injured by suffering and sorrow? Take heart. Your shepherd is here to bind you up. Are you wandering and scattered? Take heart. You have a shepherd who is seeking you. I say, how does he do it? Verse 23, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Wow, well, now we see what the blind man saw. Jesus Christ is the Son of David, the Shepherd King, come to bring his sheep home. The hurting and the lost, the weak and the broken. Shepherd Jesus calls us into his presence. How does he do it? How does he do this kind of shepherding? It's not enough just to seek us. He has to save us. The Bible also says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all go to our own bad paths, our dark ways, and we depart from the good way of the Lord. We are rebellious sheep. So it's not enough just to seek out the sheep. We'll run off again. We need him to save the sheep. Seek us and save us. We're desperate, and that's why Jesus was born. He was born to put us in the pen of his providential grace. So he goes to Jerusalem. He goes to the city of death, where he shields us from judgment and is spit upon, flogged, mocked, and crucified for us. You see, Jesus Christ is judged for our rebellion to enclose us in his grace. Will you receive him this morning? Will you receive him with joy? Will you devour his grace? Will you delight in his mercy? Behold the heart of Christ, who not only seeks, but saves, that saves the lost. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a shepherd. You are here seeking and saving this morning. I don't know where everyone is, but you in your penetrating vision and in your pastoral heart see all of us. Maybe we've wandered off into sin. Maybe we're stuck in sorrow. Maybe we're struggling with questions, but you have all the answers and all the grace, and you're eager to heal, to seek, and to save. So come now, Lord, Lord Christ, and meet us as we continue to delight in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have the pleasure of continuing the feast this morning as we turn to the Lord's table. Jesus is inviting us to devour the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, and to enjoy his grace. A lot of us talk about grace. We might teach or preach grace or counsel grace, but Jesus is saying this morning to us, church, enjoy grace. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, when he was betrayed, he took bread. He said, this is my body, and he broke it. as often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me, he says. In the same way, he took the cup and said, this is the new covenant, the new relationship that we have through his blood. As often as you eat this bread and you drink this wine, do it in remembrance of me. And as often as you do it, remember me, proclaim my death, and remember, I'm coming again. Coming again for the forever feast at the supper of the Lamb.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world.